The views and opinions discussed on this show are of the guests and host. They do not reflect the views or opinions of associated sponsors or affiliates. Sudden alteration in belief systems, moodiness, and confusion are natural side effects of listening to this podcast. Enjoy at your own risk.
Welcome back to the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Before we dig in with tonight's amazing guest and go hunting on the seas, so to speak, for treasure, you don't have to dig for treasure when it comes to editing your podcast. Remember, guys, the biggest, best-kept secret in podcasting in Newfoundland isn't my show at all. It's the fact that I can't edit worth a row of beans. Guess what? I'm so lucky because I have an amazing sponsor named Accusatus who literally, well, helps me from having to pirate other people's work and makes me sound way better than I actually am. These guys are incredible. And I want to talk to you just a little tiny bit about one of the things they actually offer. They have this wonderful thing called a de-esser. So let's say that I decide to have a podcast interview with a friendly neighborhood snake named Mr. Sam. And Sam likes to get on and talks like this. And the S's are very annoying. And guess what? Guess what? With a simple turn of the knob, you can get rid of that S sound with the Accusatus software. Guys, the fee is minimal. They're amazing to work with, and they've done something not a lot of sponsors do. They kept this podcast afloat during one of the worst times to be a podcaster and getting sponsorships during a pandemic like COVID-19. Give these guys a shot. Give them a shot. Try that de-esser, and you can interview all the snakes you want. Now, tonight's guest, so excited to have her on. I could not believe what I seen on Facebook. Just a few weeks ago, I've clicked the page over and I see this lady and she's dressed up as a pirate. Okay. So the first thing that pops in my head is, oh man, this is a cool cosplay. Because you know, I'm a total nerd for this stuff. And then I realized, whoa, wait, there's more to this story. She's a stage and screen actress. I had no idea. And an alternative model. But just get this. She's also a Canadian voice actor. And if that's not enough, she's also a fellow paranormal investigator. How do these people be paranormal investigators in Newfoundland, and I never hear about them? I don't know why. You'd think we'd have like our own like self-help group. Like we'd all be getting together once a month or something to talk about the demons and spirits in my head and outside. Anyway, that's beside the point. Tonight, I got Amber Beckroot on the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Amber, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am awesome, and I'm so glad to have a local talent here coming on the Odd the Newfoundland. You know, I interview all over the world, but it's so nice to have a local face. So thank you so much for taking the time. And, you know, I have a feeling, much like a pirate, you're going to steal our hearts today. And I'd like to hear a little bit about you, where you're from and stuff before we dig into what you're into.
Yeah, absolutely. Honestly, it's so weird to be called a local because I've only been here for not even 2 years.
So you're more local than Eddie Shearer already. So that's perfect.
Yeah, so originally I'm from the Yukon, so I'm about as far west as you could possibly get. And I was born and raised there, and I got tired of paying a lot for a lot of things because it's the north and it's cold and it's expensive. And my fiance is actually from Newfoundland, so when I said, I want to go on an adventure, she went, I want to go home. And I was like, okay.
See, that's brilliant, right? Like, you just totally leave it, come to Newfoundland, realize it's really expensive here too, but you stay for the beauty, right?
Well, and you know what? It's not, though.
Really?
Like, it is for some things, but it's not.
Okay.
We're, you know, if fast food-wise, we're paying about the same that we paid in Whitehorse for fast food. And bill-wise, you know, we're paying less than what we were paying just for our rent in the Yukon. That's not including electricity or anything else. So there's a lot of trade-offs that have made it much nicer.
I like to think that Newfoundland is just haunted enough to keep you interested to stay here. So I'm really
well.
Happy
there's here. That.
I'm thinking. You know, from a totally selfish perspective here, I would totally want to stay for the dead people, not the live ones, right?
Yeah, it's a totally different world over here because Newfoundland is so much more ingrained in history than the Yukon is. You know, the Yukon, in terms of like settler history, only goes back to the time of the gold rush. Before that, yes, there's First Nations history and the Ice Age and all those things. But in terms of documented interactions and history, Newfoundland goes so much deeper than that, which is worth staying for.
Well, I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad to talk to you about this recent project that just came out a little while ago. As we record this now, it's actually, you know, the first week of May. And this is not coming out till the first week of June. So it's awesome that you've already had this out. So anybody who's listening to the podcast, you can go check out this project she's about to start talking about. So first off, before we go into this project, I can't wait to hear you name it and talk all about it. What got you into pirates, man? Because you just got this amazing cosplay. You look just awesome. She's on the beach. She's got the hat. She's got the old school lantern. I'm pretty sure that looks like a cutlass you got there in your hand. I can't really see. Like,
yep.
This is probably one of the coolest just costumes ever. Like, what got you into this? Obviously, you're very passionate about it.
Yeah. I've loved pirates ever since I was a very small baby. You know, I grew up watching like the Muppet Treasure Island movie, on repeat, and I still do. Like, there, when I have a bad day, that's what goes on the TV.
Nice.
And you know, I loved watching like Treasure Planet. I read Treasure Island a lot when I was a kid. And I found everything to do with pirates absolutely fascinating. So, and, you know, the nerd in me absolutely loved playing Assassin's Creed Black Flag and, you know, taking things with a grain of salt, of course, historically wise. But it's so interesting to me just about the history. And, you know, pirates were, depending on the pirate, were true, you know, egalitarians. Everybody had a place. Everybody, you know, had a job. And the laws of the land were fair, you know, and it's just, it was a whole different time that is so interesting to me that, you know, a lot of them were actually just trying to get by, and punished for doing so. But yeah, it's a weird combination for me because I also love the royal history and the royal family. So those are two very conflicting things to be very interested in.
No doubt. They're literally the opposites of each other.
Yeah. So and always conflicting, right? Like that's just the theme of pirates throughout the centuries is usually they were conflicting against the crown of the time. So. Yeah, it's a fun thing to be interested in. I have pirate tattoos, so.
have we gone to Disney World and did Pirates of the Caribbean?
No.
Oh,
it's
God.
It's too expensive.
Okay, so if I ever get rich enough, I'm going to take you, and hopefully we'll get lucky and it's a day where Johnny Depp is actually in there, because it happens sometimes, okay. Apparently. Because, you know, he's not crazy.
I love Johnny Depp.
I can't get enough of him.
I love Johnny Depp.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know. I think him and Robert Downey Jr. are going to have a place in my heart till the day they die now. And
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Let's talk a little tiny bit about, you know, you kind of mentioned why you got into it and how you got into it. But you also had this love for the paranormal. And as a paranormal investigator / podcaster, this is a no-brainer. But I always ask the loaded question, what got you into the paranormal?
To be quite honest, my entire life has been filled with it. Ever since I was very, very little, I have managed to sense things, see things, experience things that I couldn't quite understand or explain. I was lucky enough to have parents that didn't shut that out, or just toss it off to the side as like imaginary friends or anything. My dad is very into the paranormal. So he was always asking me questions if I would bring something up, just to kind of, you know, dive deeper into what I was seeing or hearing. And, you know, that stretches as far as I can walk into cemeteries. And I mean, here it's really bad. I've been laid out on my ass because of the energy. But I've been able to walk into cemeteries and see people, talk to them. I've been able to have, you know, premonitions of dreams. I've been able to have hardcore deja vu moments. So it's very ingrained, especially in my family as well. My great aunt on my mother's side was basically cast out of their town in England when she was a very little girl because she had told her parents that she had a dream her neighbor's house was going to burn down. And there were other things that had happened beforehand that her parents were already kind of like, okay, this kid knows something. You know, she's only 4 years old. She shouldn't really know these things. So they told their neighbors and they packed up because their neighbors didn't believe them. They said, well, we're going to go on like a little getaway vacation for a few days. And sure enough, they came back 2 days later. The neighbor's house had burned down completely.
Oh, lovely. Oh, no.
So the town basically said, like, you got to do something about your child. So that wasn't like the 100% reason they moved to Canada, but like it helped.
I would imagine so, especially back then. So, I mean, it's unfortunate that whenever people have these gifts, I always seem like people either get judged and shunned or they get exploited, one or the other. And
exactly.
I guess it worked out for us because you're on the podcast tonight, but, it's awful sad that had to happen within your family, no doubt.
Yeah. So it's interesting. And, I'll still get phone calls from my dad every now and then being like, oh, I saw this thing today. Or, a couple days ago, I saw this shadow man. And, so then we have this long conversation. Anytime I go home, we're up at 3 o'clock in the morning watching ghost shows on TV because that's what we do. So
absolutely. Tell me about the love of your life and how she's reacting to all this. So it's like I look at this situation. I'm like, this is not a normal relationship to have because guess what? I'm totally into paranormal. My wife hates it. My wife can't stand the paranormal. Like, I'm wondering if you got a wife like that.
She, funnily enough, is a fantasy artist and author, and she also has, like, over 500 books that have to do with the occult and paranormal, and...
Holy crap.
Yeah, so she's very much into it. She loves filming it. She refuses to read my scripts beforehand for any of my, like, documentaries and stuff, because she just wants to hear the information the day of.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Yeah. Yeah, so she loves it. She's so into it. And she's into things like, to do with the paranormal that I'm not into. So it kind of rounds it out. We have like all of our bases covered when we go into an investigation versus like, well, this is what I know and this is what I like. So this is what I'm going to do.
That's right.
Yeah,
yep.
She's way more into like the tarot part of it. And that kind of thing where it's like, I'm more about the energy work and those things. So it helps round it out very nicely.
Okay. So I'm totally jealous. Super jealous of you now. And for my Steph out there, if she's listening to this podcast, which I know she won't because she hates the paranormal, why can't you be more like Amber and her wife? Why can't you be more like that? Anyway, opposites attract too. Speaking of opposites attracting, let's talk a little tiny bit about this new project you got going on, because guess what?
Yeah.
This was a labor of love. This is something that wasn't done in 2 days. This was something you sunk a lot of time into. Let's talk a little tiny bit about that. And go ahead, lay it on us. What's the name of this thing? I want to know all about it and what it's for.
So the first documentary that's coming out, it's going to be a whole series of documentaries, but the first one coming out is Spirits of the Rock, called A Pirate's Paradise. And it's basically anything that comes out under the Spirits of the Rock title is all to do with Newfoundland. For anybody who knows anything about Newfoundland, and you, of course, like the Newfoundland is the rock.
That's right.
So that was kind of why it got named that. I wanted it to stay very much Newfoundland stories, Newfoundland history. Extending up to Labrador if I can, but like that's expensive too. But just, keeping it to this island and really diving into it. And I was so excited to learn that pirates were part of that long history. And I mean, I knew that to begin with. But, you get the little box of chocolates from the Newfoundland Chocolate Company and they have the Rum Runners. and Buccaneer set, and they have like the little info cards. and Yeah, then I just kind of started digging like deeper into the pirate history of here and realizing that like some of my favorite pirates actually sailed the waters up here and then sailed to places that like I can drive to.
Cool. So, like, who are these pirates? Who are these pirates?
Yeah, so I basically cover I think five of them in I cover five pirates in the entire documentary. Peter Easton, of course, which I mean, maybe nobody else in the rest of the world knows who he is, but everybody in Newfoundland knows who he is.
Well, apparently he left the treasure here, didn't he?
Yeah, somewhere.
Somebody says it's out there.
Somewhere. Black Bart, who is also known as Bartholomew Roberts. Which, I mean, that name should be fairly familiar, to pretty much anybody. And, I talk about two that are also very much Newfoundland specific. So I had never heard of them, beforehand, which is the Cobham duo. And, of course, our dear Princess Sheila. So yeah, it was crazy. I mean, all of these places that you can drive to are, like, within, what, an hour and a half, 2 hours of St. John's? So.
Right. I know. It was like, this one time I was like, hey, bud, let's go do a little paranormal tour. And he was like, what do you mean? I said, well, let's go do EVP sessions and see how many we can do in one day at different haunted locations. We had like 10 places in one day. It was awesome. And also I got to go to like Tinker's Ice Cream. So it was really, it was totally worth the freak shake at the end, right? You know, paranormal investigator. Pirate enthusiast. I mean, if I don't ask about ghostly pirates or ships, I mean, I'd be pretty much doing a disservice, I think, to you. I have to ask you about this. Have you investigated anything to do with ghost pirates yet?
Yes. So part of the documentary itself, we did a 1.5 hour investigation on Father's Day last year in the middle of the pandemic. Because it was the 300-year anniversary of a raid in Trepassey by one of the pirates that's most famous in history, period, as a pirate, which is Black Bart. And so we went out to do that investigation and see if we could, you know, get anything, get any answers. And it was weird because, for one, it was probably the most calm night out of that lighthouse I've ever had. but it was cold in June, which was weird. And it was not necessarily like super windy, but it was just enough of a breeze. But I mean, I don't know if you've been out to the lighthouse in Trepassey.
I haven't been to Trepassey, but I'm very slowly wanting to get my batteries ready, climb in my automobile, and go meet you at this lighthouse and investigate. Because now I want to go see if I can hear from Black Bar. Continue on.
Yeah. So we went out there, and basically at the very end of it, it's just the lighthouse. There's no, you know, you get past the tree line, and it's just open field and the lighthouse, and that's it. And you can hear the foghorn from Cape Race, which is crazy. But you can just stand there, and the bay comes around both sides of the lighthouse, right? So you can get in from either way. And it's just so loud when you actually start hearing things that you have to question what's going on. Like, we, you know, thought we heard cannon fire at one point. Because that was where the raid took place. But then you have to sit there and be like, okay, was that cannon fire, or is it just the waves hitting the rocks? Because it's just straight cliffs on one side. And, you know, it's hard to differentiate the sound of the booming waves against the rocks and things like that. So I think that's the hardest part about doing investigations outside, too.
Absolutely. It's just that noise pollution is definitely an issue. And sometimes it does take some pretty nifty gadgets and stuff like that to kind of get around this stuff. And there's no doubt, especially when you're like, and here's the other part of it too. There's so much research, Amber, done on white noise as a generator for this stuff. So it's like you literally have the most expansive white noise in the world. It's an ocean in front of you. It would not surprise me if that area is supercharged anyway.
Well, and that's just it. Like, if you think about just the shipwrecks in general and stuff that are out in that area that, you know, that aren't pirate related, there's a lot. They've lost a lot of people in those waters. So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, what is out there is a whole other question. And yeah, that was kind of our first, like, real dive into looking for a pirate ship, because it was literally like we drove out to Heart's Delight for Father's Day and did that whole thing, called my dad, and then both of us were like, let's go. So it was like 8 o'clock at night and we booted it out 2 hours just to Passy and, you know, hunkered down for an hour and then drove the 2 hours back into St. John's and froze our butts off. And
so was dad with you?
No.
Oh, I was going to say, if that's the case, this would be like my Father's Day dream come true, right? My daughter takes me paranormal investigating. I feel like this would be the greatest thing that ever happened. But alas, mine is only 10, but give it a few years. And once she gets over the fact that I'm a huge dork, I'm sure she'll want to do it eventually.
Oh, yeah, it'll come. She'll go through that phase where she's like, oh, this is really exciting and interesting. I want to.
My favorite thing to do now is drive down the road and go, oh, look, there's Siren Head. Oh, look, there's Siren Head. This is my newest thing, right? If you don't know what Siren Head is, folks, look it up on YouTube. It's hilarious. Okay. Amber, there are many people out there, in Newfoundland in particular, who love the paranormal and who love to investigate the paranormal. I call them closet investigators. Like, they will not let anybody know what they're doing. So, yep. Let's say I'm a closet investigator. Nobody knows about me. I'm hiding it. Where would you suggest they go in Newfoundland to go investigating the paranormal?
Honestly, I haven't been to a lot of the places that I would love to go, and that's mostly just because they're farther away. But one of my favorite places that I find so strange, and if you want to take the risk of being jumped by a gang, as my friend put it, I love the Red Cliff Radar Station. It's got so much energy, just from the war era and all of that kind of thing. Whether there is something else out there entirely, I haven't spent enough time to really investigate on. But just the energy of it all, and, you know, really digging into what is in that area, and the fact that we have so many U.S. Bases that have just been abandoned. That's probably one of my favorite places to go. Where else?
So the Red Cliff Radar Station, correct?
Radar Station.
So we have two places that I want to go investigate with you now. Can I come? Can I come investigate with you? Can we do this? This is going to be so much fun. Yes, yes, please do. That'd be so cool. I got all my gear here, and it's just been gathering dust for a long time. And, you know, this stupid pandemic has really put a kind of a halt to all my paranormal exploits. So I'm kind of cranky about it, to be honest with you, Amber.
Yeah, that's the hardest part. We had plans to go investigate the convent in Fairyland that they're renovating right now, because it's in the middle of renovations, and that's, like, you know, the best time to try and go and get something. And then it just got worse with the pandemic last year, and I just haven't gone back.
No, there's no doubt that when you want to investigate these places, like, if it's getting renovated, that means it's gutted. That means there's no electricity to interfere with any readings. So, like, from the nerdy science aspect of it on my part, it would probably be, wow, it's quieter here. Let's do it.
Exactly.
And, alas, COVID-19, we hate you. Anyway, enough about COVID-19. Let's talk about a little bit more about this project, because, you know, I like to ask questions that are about the project that most people probably won't. So here's the first one. Has there been any bloopers on this project? Because, like, whenever I was involved with any kind of documentary shooting or anything like that, there was always the best part of it was shooting it, just the ridiculous things that would happen. And I'll leave it there. Did anything crazy happen on this thing?
Excuse me. Yes, actually. More often than not, I don't know what it was, but we had to reshoot a couple of things a few times because my mic would stop working. There was too much interference. So it would sound fine for a little bit, and then you just get this squeal of interference, and it would be completely unusable no matter what I did in editing to fix it. What else happened? We had our camera batteries die a couple of times really quickly, which, I mean, wouldn't necessarily be a blooper, but, like, a sign of energy.
You know, isn't it funny? Like, it's like they have a plan. I swear to God. Like, you're like, only when you're 2 miles from the car will they decide to drain every battery you have.
Literally. What else happened? Oh, we definitely had a few times where, like, we'd start filming and all of a sudden it would just start getting busy. Like, we filmed in Harbor Grace for a day and we were like, okay, I got all the things down that I need to say, need to talk about. I know what I'm doing. I know what's going on. And then as soon as we'd hit record, a bunch of traffic would drive by. Or we were in the middle of filming and standing in front of the giant cathedral there, and all of a sudden my fiance looks behind me and she's like, stop for a second. And I was like, what now? Like, what possibly could be going on? She was like, there's somebody walking through with their dog, which was fine because I got to meet the dog, but like
and like
it was just like
you're in character too a little bit when you're obviously talking yep. to people and stuff like that, and you're trying to like have a certain poise and stuff like that, and then just the cutest freaking dog ever. Like, here you are at this haunted cathedral place, and this cute little dog just walks by, and it's like, oh, man, you're totally ruining the mood. Let's give you belly rubs. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, how am I supposed to be desolate and angry now with the spirits? Like, oh, come on.
Yep, exactly. It's so, like, thankfully we didn't have too many things that were, like, hardcore bloopers aside from, yeah, things just dying quickly and, I think the camera fell over a couple of times when we were trying to get like B-roll shots and still shots because the wind picked up enough. And
it's always fun to talk about the bloopers. Okay.
The pros of living in Newfoundland, right?
Right. Well, it is the third windiest place on the planet. So, you know, the majority of stuff that, you know, I've caught over the years, it's always been, was it indoors? Did it have a wind sock on it? Like,
yep.
You have to answer those questions. And if you can't, we can't really look at it as data. Let's talk a little tiny bit about the future, Amber. So obviously you put all your heart and soul in this. It's out there. People can see it. I'll link, of course, in the show notes to the documentary that people can go see. What's next for you?
A lot, actually. I've got 4 scripts that are waiting to be kind of finished up and edited finally to be uploaded. That are all part of the Spirits of the Rock series. So there's a couple more. I think I've got 4 more about pirates that are kind of like more localized to one place versus a bunch all over the place. And I've got another one coming out about one of our biggest shipwrecks. And I'm hoping that I'll actually be able to get down on the anniversary of the entire thing and do an investigation the day that it happened, basically, to see if I can get anything, because I find the veil is just so much thinner, you know, on the anniversary of those things. So I'm hoping that that'll come. Yeah, there's a lot. I've got a whole series for Spaced Out Radio that I do as well. So that'll be coming out this summer. And a lot of filming, a lot of investigating, and hopefully meeting more people and doing more things with people. So, well, you know, investigating with you sounds really good.
Right, right. And here's the funny thing. I actually know Dave Scott very well. He was on my show and I was on his. So there you go. Like, there's a small world, really.
It's a very small world.
And especially the world of the paranormal. And Dave is an absolute sweetheart. An absolute lunatic for going day to day with his show. Like, you're nuts. Like, I don't know how anybody ever has time or the ability to do that. Like, when I was talking to him about it, I was like, are you really going to do a paranormal show every day? He's like, oh, yeah, it's happening. I'm like, Dave, bye. Like, this is too much. Like, you're nuts. And he's just like, oh, I'll show you who's nuts. I'm going to do this. And then, like, a year later, he has this small army of people working with him to produce just wonderful content at Spaced Out Radio. So, there you go. Little shout out to Dave. Miss you, buddy. It's been a few years. Hope everything's okay.
Yeah, it's crazy. And that was another by chance thing, too. So, it's kind of fate that this happened by chance, because you were scrolling Facebook and Dave was scrolling Facebook and YouTube and found me that way too. So,
right. And here's the really cool stuff. And I love this because it seems like the only people I attract with the paranormal are cool people, are nice people, are sweet and genuine people. And like, it's so great that you take the time to be on the show and talk to people here in Newfoundland. I hope that a whole new slew of fans from the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast checks out your work. The name of the project again is Spirits. What was it?
Spirits of the Rock, A Pirate's Paradise.
Yes, Spirits of the Rock. I knew this back part, but I couldn't remember the Pirate's Paradise. Guys, you're going to check it out on YouTube. It's going to be all linked to the show notes. Amber, thank you so very, very much for being on the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. You are going to be featured, and you've stolen our hearts like a true pirate. Yarr.
Well, I'm glad. I promise I'll give it back. Maybe.
Okay. Maybe. If you do bury it, where do you think you would put it?
That's a mystery, and only I know the answer.
Okay.
Maybe I'll release a map.
Wow. Oh, and I got to ask, too. This is important for my wife, who's you know, all about money. Any idea where Eastman's treasure is?
I've heard that it's potentially out in Harbor Grace. I've also heard that it might be on Carbonear Island. So,
okay, there gang. You go. Well, I'm going to get my shovel, and I'll hopefully meet you and see you again. Take care.
Well, the time to say goodbye is upon us. But don't worry, you can keep track of the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast very easily. It's available on Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, and TuneIn Radio. Just look for the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast banner. Of course, if you'd like to keep up to date, you can always check out the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast Facebook page, drop a like, and every single time a new show goes up, you'll be notified. You can also follow me, John Mallard, on Twitter, at ODDTONFLD. That's Odd to Newfoundland. Get your latest news on the podcast as well as the ever-popular parajoke of the day. From the oldest city in North America, I bid you adieu from the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast.